This week, we're going to be exploring the question, how can we have more of the Holy Spirit? You know, the Bible exhorts us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But if you really think about it, it's actually a curious exhortation. It almost doesn't make sense. Well, let me explain this. We've been seeing the last two weeks that the moment we come to believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to make his dwelling in us. He becomes a resident in us. So if this is true, if the Holy Spirit is residing in us already, why is the Bible also asking us to be filled in the Holy Spirit? Consider the statement, this statement. The Holy Spirit is living in you, but be filled in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't seem to make sense, does it? It may seem strange, but it actually makes a whole lot of sense. Allow me to share a story of something that happened to me about almost 10 years ago. I was in New York to attend a conference. It was a 4-5 day conference. And it was a church conference, and the people who had organized it were very, very gracious enough to help us find a family we could stay in. And this conference was in Manhattan, and hotel rooms in Manhattan can be very expensive. So they were gracious enough to help us find a home we can stay in. And so we were thankful for that, and we went to this couple's home, and they were living in the heart of Manhattan. They welcomed us in. They showed us to our room. And they showed us to the kitchen, and they showed us to the pantry and the fridge, and they disappeared. And I didn't get to see them at all till I actually left their home, when I got to say goodbye to them. Now, I'm not complaining at all. I'm still very thankful that they allowed me to welcome and invited me to stay in their home. But while I was a resident in their home, they were not even aware of my presence. And that kind of really made me reflect on how we often treat the Holy Spirit like that. He is residing in us, but just like this couple was not at all bothered. I was here, what I was doing, absolutely not bothered at all, not concerned at all, not interested at all. We can often treat the Holy Spirit like that. And hence, this exhortation in the Bible to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And so this exhortation is a reflection of two realities. First, it's a reflection of the reality that we take God for granted. It's a reflection of how indifferent we can be to God, even though he's dwelling in us. It's a reflection of the truth that we can ignore the Holy Spirit, even though he has taken up residency in us. And therefore, the Bible is exhorting us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even when the Holy Spirit is already residing in us. This exhortation is also a reflection of how much God loves us. Let's just roll back and to see this narrative of God's love for us. First, God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for us. Jesus was sinless. He was pure. He was perfect. He was God's beloved Son. And yet, he went to the cross. And on the cross, he was punished by God the Father, because Jesus took your sins and mine upon himself. That's the first thing that God did. And Jesus, having fully paid the punishment for our sins, rose again from the dead. And not only did Jesus die and rise again for our sins, but he ascended to heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit to live in us. And not only did God send his Holy Spirit to live in us, he knew that we will forget the Holy Spirit. We'll be indifferent to him. And he gives us the Bible with several passages which exhort us to be filled in the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the communion, which reminds us, and we're going to be celebrating this later today, which reminds us of who Jesus is and all that he has done for us. So God loves us so much that he's constantly calling out to us. His Holy Spirit, who's living in us, residing in us, is constantly drawing us again and again to Jesus. God loves us and pursues us despite our frequent indifference to him. This morning, we're engaging with the question, how can we have more of the Holy Spirit? What I'd like to do this morning is to walk through several examples in the book of the book called the Acts of the Apostles. It's a book in the New Testament of how the disciples of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit. And as I do that, I would love for you to spot the one thing that is common in all of these instances. This one thing that happened every time the disciples and believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the key to answering the question, how can we have more of the Holy Spirit? Let's get going. The first instance, of course, was the day of Pentecost, where 120 disciples were gathered together in prayer for 10 days. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit that Jesus had promised them. And we saw last week that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first instance. The second instance is from Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, two disciples of Jesus, two followers of Jesus, were thrown into jail for preaching Jesus in the city of Jerusalem. The next day they were released, and as soon as they're released, they go and meet with other disciples, and they pray for more boldness in preaching Jesus, in continuing to preach about Jesus. And when these disciples came together and prayed for more boldness, this is what happened when they prayed. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The third instance in Acts is in Acts chapter 8. And we saw that last week too. There were a bunch of believers in Samaria who had just become followers of Jesus. And Peter and John went to visit them. And they found that these believers, new believers, had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. So they prayed for them. They laid hands on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The fourth instance that I want to look at this morning is in the house of a man named Cornelius. This is in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is not a follower of Jesus. Cornelius invites, there's a longer story, I'm not going to get into the story about that, but Cornelius invites Peter to his home so he can learn more about Jesus. He's curious. He is checking Jesus out. He is exploring Jesus. And when Peter and a few other disciples reach his home, he finds that Cornelius has invited actually a large number of people who are not followers of Jesus, who are all curious about Jesus. And so Peter, and along with the disciples who were with him, Peter starts preaching about Jesus, and halfway through his talk, God sends his come and fill everyone who was listening, everyone who was just curious about Jesus. They're filled in the Holy Spirit, and they come to faith in Jesus. That's four instances of people being filled with the Holy Spirit at four different places. Each is a very different and a unique experience, but one thing is common in all of these instances. I'd love for you to guess that. Can you think through these four instances? What is the one thing that was common in all of these four instances? In all of these four instances, no one was filled with the Holy Spirit individually when they were alone. In every single instance, they were filled with the Holy Spirit when they were in deep community with other believers. We can have more of the Holy Spirit when we engage deeply in a community of Jesus lovers. In the first instance, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that 120 of them were joined together in prayer. Let's look at that verse. Yeah, they were joined together in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. this phrase, they were joined together, is a phrase that is rich in meaning. Joined together means that there was a deep community that was being formed. Imagine that all of us, it's a long weekend, so many of us are traveling, but imagine if all of us are here and all of us spend 10 days together in 20 downtown, worshiping and praying together. Last week we saw that these 120 disciples, as they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, were actually waiting together for 10 full days. Imagine what would it look like if we spent 10 full days here in this hall praying and worshiping Jesus together. We'll grow deeper in our friendship. We'll grow deeper in our love for one another. We'll grow deeper in our acceptance of one another. There was a rich community of disciples in that upper room on the day of Pentecost when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We are more likely to have more of the Holy Spirit when we are in close community of believers worshiping Jesus together than when we are crying out to God for His Holy Spirit individually and alone. Please don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit will never fill us when we are alone. I'm not saying that at all. Private worship is a beautiful and a rich part of our walk with God. And all of us do want to spend time alone worshiping Jesus. I'm merely pointing out that in the early church, as described in the book of Acts in the Bible, people were always filled by the Holy Spirit when they were worshiping God together in a community, not when they were alone. In all the four instances that we saw, a group of believers were together filled with the Holy Spirit, not individually. You know, I read through the book of Acts again as I was preparing for the sermon, and I picked out at least 9 instances where the book of Acts said people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Of those 9 instances, in 8 instances, people were filled when they were together in a community, either praying or worshiping Jesus together. The only instance when a man was alone filled by the Holy Spirit, just one person being filled in the Holy Spirit, was Stephen. And the Bible says he was filled in the Holy Spirit when he was stoned to death for preaching Jesus. That's a truly exceptional circumstances. In all the other people were filled with the Holy Spirit when they were together in community. So I started this talk with the question, how can we have more of the Holy Spirit? It's a very simple answer. We can have more of the Holy Spirit when we gather and worship Jesus more and more and more in community. That is why we place so much emphasis on coming together on Sundays to worship. I know all of us lead very busy and challenging lives. I know work is demanding. And there will be exceptions when we will be called into work on Sundays. Those are exceptions. That's absolutely fine. We understand. But are we characterized by joyfully coming together to worship Jesus? This is also why we place so much emphasis on our gap groups. We call them gospel application groups. We meet together during the week in smaller groups so we can experience Jesus and His Holy Spirit together. This is why we enjoy reading the Bible together as a church. We have a tool called Community Bible Reading where we read about the Bible together and we share our devotions to one another. So even during 7 days of the week when it's not possible to meet daily, the early believers were meeting daily. It's not possible for us, but at least we can stay wired. We can stay connected to each other and experience Jesus as a community. Allow me to unpack for us 2 very important points about how the Holy Spirit leads and works among men and women. First, the Holy Spirit is committed to building a community of Jesus followers. He is so totally committed to building Jesus' community. Allow me to read a verse for us from a book called 1 Corinthians. That's from the New Testament, chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, But all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but many. I'd like us to consider this phrase, for we were all baptized by the Holy Spirit, so as to form one body. This verse actually gives us a reason why the Holy Spirit is filling us. This verse gives us a reason why is the Holy Spirit coming to make us, make a residence in us. The Holy Spirit is filling us, filling each of us, because He wants us to be joined together as one body. That's one reason why the Holy Spirit is actually filling us. The Holy Spirit is filling us because we can together be a Jesus community. We're all unique. We're all different. Each of us is wired differently, but the Holy Spirit fills each of us so we can move together as one body of Christ. The Holy Spirit is totally committed to building a community of Jesus followers. So let me draw one application from this. If any of us believe in operating solo, if we pretty much are operating by ourselves individually without being truly and deeply joined together with a body of believers, we are deceiving ourselves if we believe that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I'm sorry to say, does not encourage lone rangers. The Holy Spirit is constantly drawing people to community. This is very simple, actually. Imagine five different people who are all filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you think makes sense? For these five people to live lives by themselves pretty much on their own? Or these five people who are filled with one Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself, to come together and be in a community and display Jesus to the world as a community? And so, allow me to lead us to a time of reflection. How much are we participating in gospel community? How much are we engaging with followers of Jesus? Leading up to Pentecost, these 120 disciples were joined together in prayer. You know, merely attending Sunday worship is not truly being joined together. Joined together means living life together. It means giving up our preferences for the greater good. Joined together means we humble ourselves. It means we're willingly sacrificing our time for one another. You know, some time ago I read an article. It was very profound. Generally, we encourage people and we think we need to come together for community, whether it's Sunday worship or our home groups. We think because if we don't come, we're going to miss out something. That's true, but that's only part of the reason why we ought to come. The other part of the answer is if we don't come, we're not only losing an opportunity to be blessed, but we are also losing an opportunity to be a blessing to another. A smile, a warm hug, a word of encouragement, a word of kindness, a prayer that we can all offer to others. We are denying people that if we are not regular in coming together as a community to worship Jesus. We also need one another to remind us that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead. We need one another to remind us that the Holy Spirit is actually living in us. May I encourage us to reflect what our lives have been like these past 6 months. The Holy Spirit is absolutely committed to building a community of Jesus followers. The second thing I wanted to draw out on how the Holy Spirit works and leads men and women together is a little more complicated than the first thing. So let me just say that it was, and I'll try and back unpack it for us. Every community of Jesus lovers, including New City, is messed up. We are all difficult people, right? We are all messed up people. But we can have more of the Holy Spirit when we still engage humbly and gracefully in gospel community. Allow me to read a passage from which I'm going to try and unpack this. But let me give us the context to the passage for us. It's actually talking about two groups of people. One group, this passage said, are a people who are far away from God. And another group, this passage says, are a people who are near to God. Those who are near to God refer to the Jews, because until that time, until the birth of Jesus, God had a covenant with the Jews, and God had promised that Jesus would be born through the Jews and be the Savior of all of humanity. So the Jews were considered close to God because Jesus would come from them. There was another category of people, which is anybody who was not a Jew. The Bible refers to them as Gentiles, which is probably all of us because we were not born Jews. And we were described as a people who were far away from God, but we were brought near to God by what Jesus did for us. For centuries, there was a deep divide between the Jews and the Gentiles. They would not eat together. They would not talk to each other. They would not be friends to each other. In fact, when the Holy Spirit leads Peter to go to Cornelius' home, Peter initially refuses, because Jews don't associate with the Gentiles. But the Holy Spirit had to persuade Peter to actually go to Cornelius' home. But now, even though these two people were different, even almost warring groups, Jesus, through his death and resurrection, is joining these two groups of people together, and he is building a new humanity for himself. Jesus is building a new community that is filled with Jesus. That's the context of the verse. And in him, in Christ Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So God is bringing these two communities, these two warring communities of people together, so that this community may be a dwelling place for God's Holy Spirit. Two warring communities are being built together. Any community is messy, but grace is rich. Grace is rich. New City, I'll be the first one to admit, is far from a perfect community. We may not be at war with each other. I'm pretty sure of that. But we do hurt each other. And I'll be the first one to admit that I'm certain that I've hurt at some point of time or the other at least 80% of you. And let me also assure you that at some point of time or the other, 80% of you have also hurt me. That's real community. You know, there's this verse which says, where two or three are gathered in my name, God says, I am with them. Jesus says, I am with them. There's another reality. And the Bible doesn't mention that, but it's true. Where two or three people are gathered, there is conflict. I don't know of any couple, husband and wife, who never experienced conflict in their lives. It's impossible, right? We are messed up, but we still have grace. And I'm willing to bet that even now, people within this community, you are hurting each other. That's got to happen. That's real. That's our fallen nature. But the love of Jesus is far more powerful than our hurts, disappointments, and disagreements. The mission we are on together is far more greater than our petty little egos, my ego included. So when we hurt each other, we set aside our hurts. We forgive one another as Christ Jesus forgive us, and we labor shoulder to shoulder, forgiving our differences, loving one another as Christ loved us. We labor shoulder to shoulder for the glory of King Jesus. And so Jesus is in the business of building us together as one community in which the Holy Spirit comes to make his residency among us. And I would like to challenge us, all of us today, that if any of you have felt hurt by someone else in the community, I would really encourage us to unilaterally forgive that person and make peace so we can have more of the Holy Spirit in us individually and in us as a community. The path of a greater filling of the Holy Spirit is always the path towards community and not away from it. Lastly, there is a twin reality of the Holy Spirit residing in us. The verse that we just saw talks about us being filled, built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are being built together to become a dwelling in which God, the Holy Spirit, lives. Now, while we're talking about the series they're called the Resident, the Holy Spirit living in us, it would be wrong to assume that the Holy Spirit merely lives in us individually. Yes, He does live in us individually. So a twin reality, the Holy Spirit also lives in us together as a community. We cannot fully experience the richness of the Holy Spirit living in us individually unless we are also able to enjoy the Holy Spirit living in us as a community. And that's so important. The Holy Spirit is all about Jesus. The Holy Spirit is all about creating and building a community of Jesus lovers. I'm going to close in about 3 to 5 minutes. But before I close, I do want to take a minute to talk to us who are not followers of Jesus. What's in it for you? Why should you be interested in the Holy Spirit? Or why should you be interested in the community? Whatever I've been saying for the last 20, 25 minutes, what was the blessing in it for you? What was the benefit in that for you? Did you feel loved during the last 20, 25 minutes? Or did you actually feel bored or ignored in the last 20, 25 minutes? Whatever I was saying, did it seem like a discourse between me and followers of Jesus and you were excluded? You may have felt like that, but allow me to say that everything that I've said in the last 20, 25 minutes was for your benefit, for the benefit of those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus. After God, those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus are at the center of everything that I've been talking so far. Let me explain that to you. What have I said so far? One simple point. It makes me wonder, why did I take 20 minutes to just say this one sentence? That's the essence of what I'm communicating. The Holy Spirit builds a community of Jesus lovers. That's the simple point. The Holy Spirit builds a community of Jesus lovers. And so the question I want to ask us, but why? Why is the Holy Spirit so committed to building a community of Jesus lovers? What's the goal of this community? What's the purpose of this community of Jesus lovers that the Holy Spirit is building? And let me talk to you, dear explorer of Jesus, those of us who are not yet followers of Jesus, you are the reason why the Holy Spirit is building a Jesus community. You are the purpose. You are the center, one of the main reasons why the Holy Spirit is building a Jesus community, because the Holy Spirit wants to display Jesus to you through this community of Jesus lovers. You see, you are the very reason. The Holy Spirit wants you to experience the love of Jesus by coming in and being part of communities like this, where you can explore Jesus at your own pace, where you can check Jesus out at your own pace. One of the main reasons New City Church exists as a community, one of the main reasons, is for us to create a safe place where people like you who are not yet followers of Jesus can come in and explore Jesus at your own pace. We want to be a safe place for you. We want to be a warm place for you. We want to be a comfortable place for you. We want to be an attractive place where you can explore Jesus. You can really come and discover who Jesus is and what He has done for us. And whatever you decide about Jesus, we respect that as your choice. Whatever decision you make, we still want to be a community that loves you. And we truly, deeply enjoy our friendship with you. The Holy Spirit is building us as a community of Jesus lovers for your sake, so we can display and be in very real and tangible ways the truth and the reality that Jesus, Christ Jesus, loves you. And I hope us as a community are enabling you to experience this love of Jesus, not just by what we do on the stage, not just by the time of music, not just by what I'm sharing, but when we meet with you, talk with you, when we invite you to our homes, when we enjoy having meals with you, when we enjoy hanging out with you, we want you to see the love of Jesus. So thank you for being here. We appreciate it. We enjoy our friendship with you. I'm going to close with just exhorting those of us who are followers of Jesus. I know some of you are making incredible sacrifices of your time, of your money, of your very self to this community. I know you opened up your homes. I know you're always happy to have people over. I know you're giving up quality time with your family to engage with friends. And you're making huge contributions to build this community of Jesus lovers. I want to celebrate you this morning. But in the same breath, I also want to call you to make greater sacrifices to build this community. Because how can we ever match up to the sacrifice that God made by his son Jesus to die for us so that we will not spend an eternity apart from God, but we will spend an eternity with God. Some of us have experienced this community. You may be a follower of Jesus, or you may not be a follower of Jesus, but you're still exploring this community. And I want to invite you to come on in. Come on in and build this community of Jesus lovers along with us. Some of us are on the fringe, coming in, going out. We are not yet fully engaged in this community of Jesus lovers. Let me just say two things to us. We are all called to be engaged with the community of Jesus lovers. If this community works for you, great. Come on and be engaged. If it's not, do find another community where you can be fully, deeply engaged. But please don't just stay at the fringe, nibbling at Jesus here and there. Because he didn't stay at the fringe and offer just a little bit of himself to you. He gave himself. He gave himself fully, even to death, death on a cross. The more we engage in a community of Jesus lovers, the more we will be filled with the Holy Spirit.